was a little bit later that I went to my dad and I said, "Dad, I need to ask for forgiveness." And he got mad at me and he told me where to go and how to get there. And he went stomping off.
Canada, thank you for joining us. A multi-generation Alberta farmer, Raymond Phillips' life journey reminds us that surrendering to God isn't about giving up, it's about finally being free.
Raymond, welcome to It Is Written Canada.
Thank you for the invitation.
Raymond, take us back to your childhood years. What was it like growing up on the Phillips family farm?
It was, I thought it was awesome. Growing up outside, I loved being outside, but it was hard work.
So it was multi-generational farm. Went back to your grandparents even before that?
Yes, when I grew up, we lived in just almost a granary, and then later they moved off and my parents built a house when I was about 2 or 3.
Raymond, tell us about your mom and your dad.
My mom came from an Orthodox and United Church background. My grandparents were Seventh-day Adventists, and my dad started in the church, but as a teenager, he got into some trouble with, the church didn't like drinking and going to the pool hall. That was a really bad thing back then. And he left the church, and so he had bitterness, and that carried over into the family. It was hard. My mom had spiritual desires. She joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church when I was about 3 years old.
Raymond, you mentioned that your dad was very bitter. What was he like as a father?
He just provided. And that wasn't, he would hold back too, because my mom had to work harder. She had to, she raised chickens, she would sell eggs. Later she started milking cows and making specialty cheeses. But he didn't like to give money for us to have clothing. And yeah, she had to work.
Mm-hmm. And your relationship personally with your dad?
It was just a work. There, if mom said, "Hey, do something with the kids," it was hard for him to do that. He didn't want to. It was just work, and he didn't like explaining things. Like if you had to go do something, he would just expect you to know how. He didn't like saying, "Hey, here, let me show you." You were just supposed to know. And if you didn't, then he would yell at you or belittle you. And yeah, so it was hard. It was hard, so.
And how did that kind of atmosphere shape you?
Well, I kept trying to think ahead. You know, what can I do so that he doesn't yell at me? So I would learn how to do it the best I could and go over, you know, to avoid these explosions or these belittling. And
so you kind of had this desire to please your dad?
Oh, yes. Even though he was harsh, he's still dad. And there were some good things about him. He was progressive. He would laugh with the neighbors, but with us, he wouldn't. And you'd always hope that there would be some of this fun stuff too at home, and it wasn't.
Raymond, how did this affect your sisters, your dad's harshness, how did that affect your sisters?
They struggled. They struggled, and they never finished high school at home. They left. Yeah, the older I got, I wasn't as close to them either because I worked so much. I missed lots of school. I didn't do as well as I could have in school. All my teachers said, you can do better if you applied. Yes.
So you enjoyed the farm?
I loved the farm. Getting up early, calving out cows, raking hay, producing something, making something, seeing something happen. I just loved being out there. And on equipment, I really enjoy operating. My mom's faith in God kept us involved in the church programs. My mom would take on Sabbath afternoons, take a whole carload of kids, either bird watching or see different things in nature, and that's what was an anchor. And I always believed there was a God. There were some things that happened in my life that I knew He was there.
So what kind of things happened?
We raised lots of chickens and eggs. My mom would sell eggs to provide for the family. And on Sabbath, we'd go to church and then have dinner, and maybe we'd go to somebody's place. These chickens, we would have to pick these eggs 2 to 3 times a day. Well, on Sabbath, we weren't home for a period of time, and they'd start pecking on these eggs and eat them. Well, then there was less eggs to pick. And Mom says, let's pray about this. I believe God can help us. So we prayed and said, Lord, we need these eggs to sell. Can you please stop the chickens from eating them on Sabbath so that when we get home, all the eggs are still there? And after that, there was as many eggs on Sabbath as any other day.
When we start our faith journey, we get these miraculous experiences, which gives us strength. And when we remember those, we can keep going forward, right?
Yes.
And it gives us an anchor point.
An anchor point.
Yeah. You had a few of other anchor points as a child.
Well, I was about 4 years old when I had a wart on the bottom of my foot. And so we went to the hospital. He cut it out. And after it healed, the wart regrew. And Mom says, well, you're going to have to go back? And I says, no, I'm not going back. And she says, well, then let's pray about it. And I says, okay. And we prayed about it. And over a short period of time, I don't know if it was a week or two, and it was gone. And I knew that God did that.
So God's performing surgery is a lot better, or way of healing is a lot better than going to a doctor and having something cut off.
It is, yeah. Yes. But it is still a monument in my mind of His love for me.
There was another story that you told me about your wallet.
I was 14 years old. My grandmother had gone to Morocco, and she bought me this beautiful leather wallet made from camel hide, and it was beautifully decorated. It was a soft leather, and I had just turned 14. I had my learner's license, and I had a $20 bill, and I was on top of the world. Back then, it was a tractor without a cab, and I'm raking hay, and that wallet kept creeping out and fell out into the hay. When I found out, I just cried. This was important to me. This was a gift from my grandma. So I prayed. I said, Lord, it is going to be impossible for me to find this. I don't know what you can do, but I know that you can find it. So my dad was square bailing behind, he'd get off the tractor and check the bales, about one every 100 bales, to check the tension, check the length, because then we were picking them up with an automatic bale wagon. And so they had to be nice and firm and the right length. And he sees my wallet in the side of the bale. It went through the rake, I don't know how many times, it went through the pickup, it went through the, there's an auger, and then there's a knife that cuts each slab of bale. When you take a square bale apart, it's in slabs. It's because it's cut. And it, that wallet wasn't inside the bale. It was right on the edge, and I still have that wallet. And there's no scratches on it. My license was still in it, and my $20 bill.
You would think that that wallet would be somewhere either inside or cut up.
Cut up.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Raymond, but then you reached a breaking point.
I was in college and I was living a double standard life, going to church, but I was drinking, I was carousing. It was in Vermilion, I was going to college, and there was a hockey game in the wintertime at Vegreville, and I was going to meet the kids over there, and a carload of four never made it. They got hit by a drunk driver and killed three of them. And that shook me. It still shakes me because life can be so fragile. And I could have been that drunk driver, or I could have been in that car and I've been killed. And because I knew better, I knew God wanted my heart. I knew God loved me. From past experiences, he showed me, and he wanted me. He says, I need to change you. And so I was on my knees, and I gave my heart to the Lord. So I was baptized at 19, and married at 23, started a family, and I was still struggling to, I was almost in competition with my dad. He wanted me to work harder, and there was no affirmation. There was no talking with him about, you know, let's find some balance in life. There was none of that. It was, if there were 3 days of good weather after harvest, he says, see, we should have had more. And so it was this push. And we were starting to really become sandpaper. And I started with leaf cutter bees and alfalfa seed production and a seed business, and I overworked, so it was self-destruction, and my health cracked. And I came down with connective tissue diseases. They couldn't put me in any one category. I had symptoms of at least five, and one of them is lupus, which most people understand and know about. And I just kept going lower and lower. I was losing weight. I was being very allergic to grain dust, and to the point that I couldn't work. And the doctor said, you might not physically work again. So I thought I'd go back to school. And I got so sick I couldn't even go to school and ended up in the hospital.
Raymond, that must have been devastating for you and for your precious wife, Candace, having little ones and not being able to work.
Yeah, it was awful because we had four children already. And how do you provide? And as a dad, I wanted to provide for my family. I want the best for my family, and I couldn't work. I ended up in the hospital with a fever.
Sometimes people, when they think of that, well, God changed my life, they was like, no problems anymore. But that's not the truth. And did you know that things were not going to be easy and happily ever after?
Matthew 6:33 is just so powerful for me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will fall into place. I understand that God owns everything. Everything is His. And so then this came to my mind of taking each part of me and putting it on a silver platter to the King of Kings, not just as an obligation, but out of true, true service. I want to take, example, my mouth. What goes into it? And what does God want to put into me? I understand that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I want to do the best for what's in me. And what comes out? So then now it's interconnected with my mind and my eyes and my ears. And taking each part of that and offering it to the King of Kings. This is yours. Please be in me, guide me, because I want to serve you.
You came to a place that you had no will of your own. You were surrendering your will to Jesus.
Yes.
And that brought healing.
Peace. I had many pastors and my mom wanting me when I was younger to give my heart to the Lord, to be baptized. But I always thought that surrender was handcuffed. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, I found freedom. I didn't realize I was handcuffed. And now I had freedom and peace. Peace that came to my, because God is in charge. Jesus is my master. Is it a once saved, always, everything else will go smooth? No. It's a daily walk. Has it been roller coaster? Absolutely. But I have a direction. When I get low and when I get in trouble with the Lord, trouble with my wife, trouble with whoever, it's back on my knees. And He helps me through it.
So what do you do with this surrender? Do you do it every day?
I fail at times, but yes. The more often we surrender, the closer we stay, and the more consistent life we can lead following Jesus.
We met when I was 12 years old at a fashion show. And actually, we went on our first date. Mom was kind of tired and she was burnt out, so she let me go with him. She says, "He looks so innocent, I don't trust him." I'm from a large family, but there are four of us girls that were all a year and a half apart, so we spent a lot of time together. And so I was the youngest of these four, and we spent so much time together that I learned from their mistakes. So by the young age of 16, I was looking for someone that had values in their life. We love God's masterpiece and seasons. We love nature. We love road trips, we love gardening, we love our yard work and farm. Every season of the farm, each job is so much fun. I mean, we've been married 44 years and we've had many ups and downs and trials in our lives, but Raymond's faith has been unwavering.
Raymond, you completely surrendered your life to God. How did that affect your relationship with your dad?
It was a little bit later that I went to my dad and I said, "Dad, I need to ask for forgiveness for some things that I had done. I hurt you. I wrecked a car, things like that." I said, Dad, I want a better relationship with you. I want us to be together. And he got mad at me. And he told me where to go and how to get there. And he went stomping off. I went home and I had a good cry. For many years, I had prayed that, God, could you change my dad's heart? But God finally got through to me and said, I can change you. And so I said, well, I had said, Lord, if this is where you want me to be, then please change me. I can't change him. Only you can. I'll leave him in your hands. But please change my prayer if this is where you want me to be. And so I had more acceptance of him. I had more tolerance for what he was doing.
And it seems so odd that he would have an outburst like that when you were being kind to him. Did you ever ask him about that, why he kind of was so mean towards you?
Yes, I did. He said, well, if I was any kinder, you'd walk all over me. And I just said, no, Dad, I think it would be the opposite. But he didn't change. There were times that he had compassion for me when I got sick, and he helped us financially when I was sick. So he did have kindness. He would help me with the farming. If there was a piece of land that was coming up for sale, he would help me buy it. So he did love me. So I would see through it, but oh, how I wanted his arms or his affirmation. Our son came home to farm, and I had made sure that he worked elsewhere first, that he really wanted to come home. And he did, and we get along, we discuss things. It's not always a bed of roses, but we talk. And we talk or text multiple times a day. And so it's going much better. We reduced some of our workload. We were overworking. And we were starting to make some mistakes, so we let some things go. And it's much better. And we're enjoying it.
Now you're healthy, you're stronger, you have freedom in Christ. What final words could you share with our viewers before we ask you to pray?
I have never fully recovered. And actually, I'm glad. Because I like to overwork. And so it's a thorn in my side to remind me to have a more balanced life. What do I have to share is that God loves us so much. He is our creator. He knows what we need. He knows the future. And he keeps trying to give us the desire to come to him and to give our lives to him, and that it will be so much better walking with him. And I said, so that's my message to everyone I meet.
Raymond, this is so encouraging and so beautiful, actually, because it's come full circle. Your whole family, your children, your grandchildren, and their spouses have all become such an integral part of this farm, and they each have their own place on your family farm.
The children, even though they're not all fully engaged, but they still want to help, and we encourage it, the grandchildren. So it looks like it will keep going, and it gives me a spark to keep going too, and to teach. I love teaching.
Then sometimes it doesn't kill that regrowth and then messes us up.
As we close, maybe there's someone who's watching this and is really inspired by your story to surrender their life to Jesus. And I wonder if you could pray for that right now, because the inspiration of your story of how God brought you through so much, I think is very encouraging.
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are long-suffering with wayward children as myself. And Lord, there are many that have been resisting and rebelling, and you keep wooing them, keep wanting. So Lord, I encourage those, everyone, to taste and see how God is so good. He wants us in a relationship, and that Lord, we can have a good relationship even when we have trouble with others around us. We can still have hope and peace and an assurance of salvation. And by that life, we can encourage others. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Raymond, thank you so much for joining us on It Is Written Canada today.
It has been good to be here.
Are you carrying the weight of pain, pressure, or past regrets? Raymond Phillips discovered that true freedom comes not from striving harder, but from surrendering everything, all of it, to Jesus. Today, we invite you to place your burdens on the silver platter of surrender and to trust the one who never gives up on you.
To help you in your surrender to and trust of the Lord Jesus, our free offer will clarify the science of salvation, the steps to conversion, and the work of the Holy Spirit. It is called The Miracle of Conversion.
We would like to thank everyone who has supported the Ministry of It Is Written Canada through your prayers and financial gifts. Also, if you have been inspired by Raymond's story, please share it with your friends.
In order to keep this ministry on the air, we truly need your support. You can make a donation on our website. You can additionally follow us and share our content on Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and also listen to our podcasts.
Friends, if you want the kind of joy and peace that only Jesus can bring, we encourage you to open the Bible daily, where you will find that Jesus himself defeated the devil with these words, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."